The Strayerisms you've come to know and love are full of clinical insights, cutting humor, dry repartee with the audience, but today, it's reflective, introspective, and a touching show of respect to the patient and the resus team. When I listened to this segment for the first time, I thought this is what it means to practice the art of medicine.
I recently read an essay by an emergency doc named Jay Baruch where he described a young man who was killed in an automobile accident, and after the unsuccessful resuscitation, which included a thoracotomy, the treating team carried on with business as usual, but of course it's not business as usual, even if it's what we do. And Dr. Baruch concludes that these, quote, crushing experiences deserve to be recognized and not blindly endured, unquote.
This reminded Ruben of a ritual he incorporated into his practice a few years ago, and it turns out his practice has a name.
The pause. This is how I do the pause. I decide that it's the appropriate time to terminate resuscitative efforts and pronounce the patient. I ask everyone in the room, does anyone have further suggestions for resuscitation? It's unusual for anyone to offer any suggestions at this point. Certainly the person doing chest compressions is not offering any suggestions for ongoing resuscitation. A few moments later, I say, I pronounce Ms. Chen deceased. The time is 11:45. We can stop compressions and turn off the monitors. Immediately after that, I say, could we please take a silent moment to honor the deceased? And I look down at the patient and stand there, with everyone in silence, for 10, 20, maybe 30 seconds of silence. I then say, thanks everyone, and allow the team to disassemble.
Ruben started doing the pause after a brutal series of shifts where he felt like every patient he took care of died.
And I realized I couldn't picture any of them, that I couldn't remember virtually anything about them. Like, I couldn't even recall if most of these patients were male or female. And it really bugged me.
And he thought about his old roommate, a guy he had lived with in the 90s.
Who was into Buddhism, and when I asked him why he was meditating and using terms like mindfulness, which at the time sounded really hokey, he replied with this anecdote. Every day I was brushing my teeth before bed, and I would try to remember what happened that day. And the only thing I could recall was first thing in the morning, sitting in my car in the driveway waiting for the engine to warm up. So this anecdote about this guy who was inspired to Buddhism by all of his days passing by him in a blur resonated with me, and I decided at that point I had to do something to mark the death of a patient under my care. And a moment of silence seemed obvious. So it was an entirely selfish project. I wanted to do something to make me feel better about being witness to death, and I was nervous at first that the rest of the resuscitation team would be annoyed or uncomfortable or find a moment of silence hokey. But that is not what happened, and virtually every time I asked the team to take a moment of silence for the deceased, someone approached me later and said, thank you for doing that. I make an effort to use the patient's name in my pronouncement. I will even delay pronouncing and continue chest compressions if it looks like we can get the name in the next couple of minutes, because using the patient's name is so humanizing. Maybe because I was raised in the South, if the patient looks younger than me, I use the patient's first and last name. But if the patient looks older than me, I use Mr. or Miss. If I don't have a name, I say this man or this woman. Occasionally someone walks away during the pause or someone says a prayer which seems to make others squirm. But I think that's okay too. We don't need to pretend to be comfortable with death, even if sometimes it feels like death is our job.